This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. 50 years ago this month, the Beatles first arrived in the United States, and we are still singing their songs. She's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket to ride. She don't care. Catchy? Yes. Grammatically correct? No. Sadly, even the four lads from Liverpool cannot escape the discerning ear of Grammar Girl. Joining me now to dig into poetic license and the lyrics of the Beatles is Mignon Fogarty, creator of Grammar Girl and founder of Quick and Dirty Tips. Great to have you with us again.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so she's got a ticket to ride, but she don't care. Say that grammatically correctly for us, please.
She has a ticket to ride, but she doesn't care. It doesn't have quite the same rhythm.
It's a little prim. It's not real rock and roll. What are some of the other grammar faux pas of the Beatles, and how would you correct the errors?
Well, they like the word ain't, so ain't got nothing but love, babe. They have the song Ain't She Sweet. I mean, a lot of rock and roll and music likes ain't and informal words like that. And then there's the one Live and Let Die. That's Paul McCartney by himself, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes, I believe so.
Right. But there's always been this almost a controversy about this line where he talks about the ever-changing world in which we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And that
yes.
that in on the end is unnecessary. Ending a sentence with a preposition isn't always wrong, but when the preposition is unnecessary, you should leave it off. So he could have said ever-changing world in which we live. When I listened to the song, I always thought he was saying the world in which we're living, and that would have been grammatically correct. So that brings up a problem, or at least a thing about music, is that we can't always even tell what they're saying.
But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die.
But the origins of rock and roll is rhythm and blues, which came from rural music and blues, African-American jump blues especially, and lingo. So the language of the music that hooked the Beatles in is that very kind of language. Do artists like the Beatles get a pass, Mignon?
Oh, of course. It would be ridiculous to hold musicians to perfect grammar. It's an art form, just like poetry or literature, fiction. You know, we don't hate E.E. Cummings because he uses all lowercase letters. We don't refuse to read Cormac McCarthy because he doesn't use commas when he should. As a society, we do grant our artists poetic license, and you know, musicians are artists too. It's frustrating for teachers because when students are singing along with songs that are grammatically incorrect, Lady Gaga's song, Bad Romance, you know, it's I Want Your Love and I Want Your Revenge. You and me could write a bad romance. It should be you and I. And when students are singing along with something that's incorrect, music is a great tool for reinforcing memory. So it's sort of burning it into their minds the wrong way, which is frustrating when you're trying to teach the rules, but that's just the way it is.
Boy, this one would drive my father crazy, who made us say you and I over and over and over again. Here's Lady Gaga. It does take some talent to use even grammatically incorrect phrases well, but do we also have to draw the line somewhere there? I mean, if you're just doing it badly, and any examples that you can think of?
Well, it frustrates me as a listener when you get the impression the musician doesn't know, that they're not doing it intentionally to hit a beat or make a rhyme, but they're just doing it because they don't know. So, for example, you know, Justin Bieber's If I was your boyfriend, it should be if I were your boyfriend. And it wouldn't change the rhythm, and it wouldn't change the meaning. It's just the wrong word.
If I was your boyfriend, never.
you go. That I find more frustrating than something like ain't, or something that is more of a slang word, or
like drank. We get a lot of drank.
You know, I wrote an article about how that song was wrong, and I got called to the carpet because there's a rap song, Buy You a Drink. Buy you a drink. Drank is an actual drink that people can buy. That's the name of a drink. And apparently it's the name of a drink and drug concoction that's popular in the rap world. Like, I just got called out that I am culturally illiterate when it comes to the rap world, and I had misunderstood the whole point of the song. So, you know, I mean, and that's a real lesson, that songs speak to specific audiences and that their cultural experience and language expectations are different, most likely from yours and mine.
Well, we just proved that, I think. And how do the Beatles compare to more current pop artists? Are we hearing more or fewer grammatical errors nowadays?
Well, I think it's common to believe that kids today are worse than kids were 50 years ago. You know, adults like to think of the good old days. And, you know, I haven't done a systematic comparison of old songs versus new songs, but I suspect we would find a similar number of what people might consider errors.
For someone who has such a discerning grammatical ear, it could really significantly narrow one's options for a playlist if irked by incorrect grammar. I wonder if you find yourself cringing at grammar faux pas in your daily life.
I don't. I mean, not in music, especially. You know, with that Lady Gaga song, I loved it, and I didn't even realize it was grammatically incorrect until maybe the third time I'd heard it. I don't pay attention to a lot of things like that when I'm listening to music. Certain things do jump out, like the if I was versus if I were. I think also it depends a lot on how clear the lyrics are. If it's a slow song where the artist is enunciating every word and you can really follow along with every word, it will bother me more than if it's a rap song where they're going so fast I'm not even sure what they're saying. I find often I don't catch every word in a song, and whether it's slurred or it's fast. And so it doesn't really bother me.
Careful what we sing along with, I guess. Mignon, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Mignon Fogarty is founder of Quick and Dirty Tips and also the creator of Grammar Girl and Grammar Girl's Peeve Wars. That's a card game. You can find it on fundanything.com that lets you play with grammar pet peeves.